Welcome to Series 2 of What's the Matter, the official Mindspan podcast where we talk about anything and everything with a psychology twist. My name's Em Drake and I'm joined with my glamorous co-host, Mr. Dad. How are you, Dad?
Very good, thanks, Em. You?
All good, thank you. All good. I'm very excited, actually, because we're kicking off the launch of Series 2. Mm. And it's been, I think, 2 years since we last recorded a podcast.
How quickly has that flown by the way?
I know. That doesn't feel like 2 years at all. And also just how different our setup is now, because we started that in the pandemic. Mm. And even though the first series ended coming out of the pandemic, we were still recording them from our homes and we were never actually together when we were recording them. So, yeah, it's exciting to be here in person.
In HD. The flesh, face-to-face in the flesh.
Exactly. And we've got lots of great things planned for Series 2. Obviously, you and I are going to get our teeth into some really big topics. We're going to have some special guest episodes as well, where as much as we love talking, we think it's time we hand the mic over to some other people sometimes. So really excited to have people coming in from all different backgrounds and areas for this series. Now, in today's episode, we're kind of going down an avenue that we've actually not even discussed between us before. Mm. And that's more of your journey and sort of, you know, how you got to where you are right now. Because if we just look at Mindspan as it stands now today in 2023, you know, we've got a team of, you know, sort of about 20 coaches at the moment. Mm-hmm. You know, we've delivered content to sort of hundreds of thousands of people in, you know, over 15 different countries and over 3 languages, I believe. And that's just continuing to grow. But as awesome as that success is right now, I want to go back to day one, because none of that would ever have happened if you hadn't taken that leap one day to start a business. And so whilst today we're going to kind of be covering your journey and making difficult decisions and how did you approach that and the sort of psychology and mindset behind that, this, I guess most of the stuff that will come out of this could apply to anyone making big decisions. It doesn't necessarily mean you're starting a business, but, you know, taking those risks and how do you do it? And sort of, you know, I'm excited because I don't even know the answer to some of these questions.
I may not even know them, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see where this goes.
Yes.
So you started the business in 1998 and at the time, obviously, I was 6, Ollie was 8.
Ollie being your brother?
Not just some random person in the village. Ollie was 8. Now, I know, because you've mentioned this before, that was obviously, you know, a big scary decision and a moment in your life when you had a lot on your shoulders, a lot to kind of make sure you could cover financially. But I want to just go back a little bit before that and, you know, what were you doing before you started Mindspan and what led you to make that decision of I want to start my own business?
Yeah, I think what drove that decision in the end was quite a lot of different things, but I think it was all of it was underpinned by one simple thing really, which I'll probably come to in a moment. But like lots of people, I got out to the workplace, had an employed career. I always quite enjoyed what I did, because I think if I hadn't have quite enjoyed it, I wouldn't have wanted to do it. I'd have sort of made a change. But I guess for a fair bit of my career, an employed model suited me, because hopefully your salary's there at the end of the month and you can build a life for your family and all that sort of thing. But ever increasingly, as I went through the early to mid years of my employed career, whilst I quite enjoyed what I did, I just realized more and more it wasn't what I wanted to do for the next 30 or 40 years of my life.
So you weren't thinking about the present moment or the next few years. You were thinking much further ahead than that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, I think I've always done that. And I don't mean I live in the future, but I am thinking about what I do today, how that's going to impact my future or our future as a family, ultimately. And, you know, as we've discussed or mentioned on previous podcast in series one, excuse me, obviously went through something quite big at the age of 12, in terms of the loss of my mother, which was obviously hugely devastating for me as a 12-year-old, hugely devastating for my sister, who was only 8 at the time, and obviously hugely devastating for my dad, who was sort of 37. I think him and mum were sort of 37. So I think obviously that's a massive experience, and I don't need to delve hugely into that today because we have discussed that before. But if I look back now and I try and join up the dots a bit, like we sometimes do, so why did we get here and what happened? That huge life event at a fairly tender age massively influenced what I went on to think, what I went on to believe about life and everything. And it was the catalyst for me, even more deeply than some other people, really, to believe that life is precious. And people say that. I mean, and it is, but people don't always behave like it is. Does that make sense? So we can often intellectually acknowledge these things. Life is precious. Time is the most valuable resource. Don't waste life. Be the best version of yourself. Don't rely on others. Make things happen. Be proactive. All that stuff. All that stuff grew and emerged more and more in me in my employed career. And of course, I could have fulfilled all of those wishes and needs and values and beliefs in an employed career.
Yeah.
But I guess I wanted to try and create something or live in a way there where I didn't have other people's ceilings.
Yeah.
Or limits. And, you know, often a part of being having an employed career is, you know, you choose to put yourself somewhere and someone employs you. And unless you're at the top of that business, sometimes even if you're at the top of the business, you're still answering to shareholders and other investors in that business. There's often a model where you are limited by the framework that you're in, if that makes sense. And I suppose really part of me was always I probably am a little bit these days as well too, even at a more mature age, a little bit rebellious.
Yeah.
And I don't mean, you know, I'm an anarchist and working against the system. I'm just...
Never tame him, you know.
if a lot of people are going that way in life, I quite like to think about and look at, well, actually, what about if I go that way? So, of course, we all like to fit in and there is a social structure that we exist in, but I quite like looking at in different directions.
Mm-hmm.
Not that the direction other people are taking are wrong. I just think, well, okay, I could go in that direction because they're going in that direction. That's fine. But what about, they probably haven't realized there's another direction over here. So for me, the whole self-employed, being my own boss thing just became stronger and stronger and stronger as I got through my 20s and into my 30s, to the point where I think I started to scare myself. So really stir myself up. If I positioned myself into the future thinking, yeah, I should have done that.
Yeah.
But I never did because it was comfortable, mm-hmm. because it was slightly safer, because I knew my salary would be there at the end. You know, I was terrible at what I was going to do when I got the sack. My salary would be there. And, you know, this is only my experience. So this isn't necessarily everybody else's experience. It started to frighten me more and more. I frightened myself if I positioned myself at, say, 70, 80 or 90 and thought, if I don't do this, it's going to be a massive regret. Yeah. It's always going to be a what if. And I don't like to, increasingly as I've gone through my life, I don't like to have what ifs.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's wrong, but lots of people do. Lots of people get to later in life and start having thoughts like, I wish I'd have done this. I wish I'd have done that. And I wish I'd have got in my comfort zone a bit more. I wish I'd have taken a little bit more of a risk. I wish I hadn't done that job I hated for so long. I wish I'd have gone to India or whatever. And as we go through life, most of the time, the regrets that people have are for the things they didn't do.
Yeah, agreed. So obviously, so you've obviously talked there about kind of you didn't want to stay in that establishment and you knew that you wanted to be your own boss, which I completely get. Mm. It's kind of strange because even though we've not actually had that conversation, that's near enough exactly what I felt and how I was.
The same gene pool, Em.
Yeah, so, you know, it's always as if, like, you know, you raised me or something.
Yeah, I know.
But what, because obviously that's talking about self-employment, but what led you into the, you know, thinking about mindset and actually, you know, mind span and creating that, you know, did you sort of know you wanted to be your own boss and think, how can I make that work and what other things could I get into? Or... yeah, you know, how did you get to that point?
Although I didn't know this at the time, it was what I did. Almost what we did, because Mum had a key part to play in. You know, if Mum would really been against it, that would be a more difficult decision for me to make. But actually, credit to Mum, and she's always like this. She'll always back me. Yeah. and we'll talk about things and stuff like that. But yeah, so she was with us, if that makes sense. But I think it was an expression of what was really important to me at the time, my values. Yeah. We talk a lot currently, don't we, in the programs we run about values, and most people aren't that aware of them. And the more clear you get, the more clear you also get about what the choices that you need to make. So it was an expression of my values. I loved personal growth. Okay. I still do. I think that was born out of that experience as a young person and losing my mum. I realised if I want to make something of this thing called life, how can I be the best version of myself? So I always loved personal growth, training, being coached myself, trying to learn to become a better me. I loved helping others with that, coaching and training. And I really wanted to be my own boss.
Yeah.
So after quite a lot of discussions with mum, obviously, and sometimes wine had a part to play in the decision.
Just like that, you know, when Fleetwood Mac talk about writing that best album, and they were very well fueled on some things. Mindspan was born out of a crazy,
red wine. But you know, sometimes your brain, you unshackle yourself a little bit with a glass of wine or whatever, and you can you start dreaming and thinking about things. Anyway, so some of that went on, obviously, but I think it was an expression of what I really valued. I wanted to be my own boss. Didn't want others imposed ceilings on my life. You can earn up to here, or you can get about that far. Or I wanted to define that more myself. Yeah. So, and I love personal growth, and I probably love it now at 60, even more than I loved it then in my 30s, just because I know the value of it, because we've been in it for sort of 25 years. And I love the whole, how can I help others as well on that journey? So, yeah. So those were the things that I really valued around how I wanted to spend my time, how I wanted to earn a living, and how I wanted to try and be the best version of myself for me, but also for us as a family, and trying to create and provide the whether that's the standard of living or the sort of life that I would ideally like for us as a family. So there's a whole load of big drivers there, ultimately. But that's flipping that over, just how scared or frightened I'd be contemplating that if in the future I'd not tried it, I'd not had a go. And I think it's not always easy, because it's a big decision. Because when we did that, when Mum and I decided to do that, obviously you and Ollie were young. There's 8 and 6. We had a mortgage. You had financial responsibilities. And whilst I would never encourage someone to be reckless in life, you just need to take a risk sometimes. Yeah. And if you're absolutely risk averse all the time, any one of us will stay really comfortable, which is fine.
Yeah.
Part of one of our core human needs is to be safe, secure, and comfortable.
Yeah.
That's fine if we can find some ways in life of sometimes feeling safe, secure, and comfortable. But if that's where you stay all the time, in that comfort zone, you won't learn, you won't grow, you won't fulfill your potential. Life is not that exciting. Mm-hmm. It can get boring. So we want to balance life with, some safety, comfort, and security, but actually, life can be sort of more thrilling if it's a little bit unsafe at times. If you get a little bit uncomfortable, that's when you grow massively. I had a coaching session with someone this morning, a client this morning, and they've just had a really quite difficult phase of life. Mm-hmm. Coming out of the other side, and it's magical. Yeah. As in, like, so much of what they want in their life is now falling into place. But it wouldn't have happened if they hadn't have had 6 months of discomfort in a whole load of different areas of their life, which I won't reveal on here. But that for me is like, well, there's another reinforcement of, there is real value in not being reckless with your life, but get uncomfortable.
Yeah. I've got two things I want to sort of go into there, because one, having also gone through that process myself, and I probably was a bit quite scared when I first was in my, initial sort of time as a self-employed person. But I think I've now a bit obsessed with risk taking, and if I haven't taken a risk or done something that's like, I like being uncomfortable now, because I'm very aware that that's where you get to the next stage of you and the next stage of you. And it's almost like I think of it quite symbolically, like becoming a butterfly. Like when I'm in my comfort zone, because I know when I'm there and I've been in a place for too long, I'm like, okay, I'm in my cocoon now, and I need to I need to evolve. And that's when I then want to take a risk and do something. So yeah, I completely agree, to get to the next level in life and the next stage in life, if that's where you want to go, you do need to take risks. I was going to say, what's your, because I completely get that, we want we do always want stability and safety. And actually, sometimes when you're taking a risk, it's because you think you could get to a safer or more stable place, maybe financially or, you know, however that might be. So what would you say is that that fine line between how much risk taking do you do and how safe do you keep things? You know, what's your thoughts on that?
I think that's a line that you, I don't think it's appropriate for me to draw that for other people. Because for my version of where that line is going to be quite different to where other people's version is. And that doesn't mean I'm at the extremes of it. There are, you know, people other than me who take bigger risks than I've ever taken and that sort of thing. But I think there is there's a sort of a danger for me, and that's what frightened me, that if actually, you know, I could stay here, I could stay where we are in life, and it'll be fine, and we'll all be all right, and we'll wake up in the morning, and it'll be comfortable. And but then I started to project that a little bit further. Oh, crap, that actually sounds a bit dull. If we're in 5 years' time, we're where we are now, it'll be okay. But I don't want my life to be okay.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, I think. And that was massively influenced, as I said, by what happened when I was very, very young. It just absolutely highlighted for me. And it depends on your belief system, you know, religiously or spiritually or otherwise. But, you know, I sort of live and work currently and always have done under the premise that this isn't a dress rehearsal. I'll find out later whether it was, but whether it is. But I work under that premise. It's not a dress rehearsal. So I've got a shot at this. And I'm not perfect. Life won't be perfect. We'll make decisions. Some work, some don't. But that's part of the journey. That's part of the enjoyment. That's what brings life to life. And I think, you know, again, we work with all sorts of people. And I think sometimes people are looking for this sort of perfection. They like want life to be a certain way. They almost like want to learn, grow, and get incredible fulfillment by being safe.
Yeah.
And that, for me, that can't happen.
Yeah.
Because if it's always about safety, comfort, security, that's and let's say you establish that, and because you value that so much, that's where you stay. That's fine.
Yeah.
But you don't learn. But you won't grow. And actually, it's not that exciting.
Yeah.
So it's you know, we're 25 years into this now, and you know, I still love this business or the Mindspan businesses as much as I've ever done. In fact, probably even more. I have as much or more business mojo about what we're doing. With you being involved, obviously you have Steve as well, don't we, in the business as our ops director, and the team that grows. We're still working towards and in pursuit of our overarching vision, because we're not there yet. But that's what gets me out of bed.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I think Mindspan now is more probably for you to sit back and look at, is more visual than it's ever been, because it's not just you.
It's more expansive.
And you
now
can see all the different, the way all of the products have evolved, and the fact that we've got people every quarter going through and becoming part of our team of coaches. And yeah, just taking it back to like you and day one of probably handing your notice in to now, 25 or so years on, and sort of thinking, wow, I don't actually need to be doing everything. You can see there's these people and pools of people that have bought into so much something that you created.
Yeah.
I imagine that must feel amazing.
It's so fulfilling, because you know I've loved what we've done.
Yeah.
You know, worked on and now the principles and all the training and coaching for a long, obviously for the last 25 years. But increasingly, I've wanted other people to enjoy that, not just the clients, but I've got just amazing fulfillment and such a buzz out of spending the last 25 of my years of my life doing what we've been doing.
Yeah.
It would be mad if I didn't share that with people, or if we didn't make that available for more people who have similar values and want to impact the lives of others in a positive, constructive way as much as I've done. And you're right, I am a bit like a proud dad of the business in many respects now, as our team grows and we develop our coaches and our trainers, and you know, we get into other sectors I've never been in, or we're working in countries I've never been in, and that sort of thing. And it isn't just totally reliant on me.
Yeah.
It's driven by and delivered by an emerging, growing group of pretty damn amazing people. And I love sometimes almost metaphorically just stepping back and just looking at the whole thing and the people and thinking, and I'm like a proud dad.
Yeah.
You know, seeing, you know, even when I've seen you deliver and stuff, and you think, oh, all right, that's amazing. But the fact, as you said earlier, the amazing thing is, and this isn't just an example, we're not just the only example of this, there are all sorts of amazing entrepreneurs and amazing business owners all over the world. And that's one of the great things about living in a country like Britain. It is relatively easy to start a business.
Yeah.
So people that have want to express that, want to get into that space, it's a, we have a relatively easy way of doing that in this country, as long as you behave responsibly as a director, etc. And things are legal. And that's brilliant. So, yeah, I get ever increasingly proud, fulfilled, well up on the odd occasion when I look at what the team's doing and what we're doing, and the motivation, drive and energy and fuel that you all the rest of the you guys have and the other guys in the business have, that I've had for years, and now other people are joining in even more. And we want to we want to take our stuff to an ever increasing audience around the world. That's always been one of my key drivers, and that is one of the values and missions, visions in the business, isn't it?
Now, that's amazing. But I want to make sure that we continue to talk about you, because it can so easily
get back
to...
quite good at getting off me.
Yeah, yes. You don't like talking about yourself. But I think there's so much to learn from the journey that you've taken. So obviously, yes, you made that decision to go self-employed. You started Mindspan. Everyone knows those first few years of being, you know, self-employed and running your own business can be some of the most difficult. So without going really in depth about how kind of, you know, all how tough those first few years were, I want to go to the first point where perhaps you thought, not I've made it, but you know, where you think this is working, this is the thing. Did you have a moment that was sort of suddenly like...
Brilliant question. No one's ever asked me that before. I don't. Going back to you, you used a phrase. I don't think I've ever been in the place, and I hope I never am, actually, that I've made it.
Yeah.
Or this is it. Because I think the very nature of what we're trying to help other people with, which is about learning, growing, becoming an even better version of yourself, even if you're amazing, and it's then about marginal gains, you know, small little improvements. You know, there is always room for improvement. Becoming an even better version of yourself. That's reflected in the business. We can become an even better version of the business. So I think as an attitude and a mindset, I've never ever been in that place. And I hope I never am.
Yeah.
Not because I'm always striving, because that sounds like, oh, striving for the next thing. I don't want to be like feeling that the whole thing is a burden. I actually just want to be inspired. I want to be enlivened. I want to be excited about growth, development, moving forward. So I don't think I've ever put myself in that place. But going back to the other bit of your question around the early years, it's not easy.
That's really hard.
I was, you know, when Mum and I decided to, let's do this, let's have a go at this. Obviously, I thought about things, and you're planning, and I'm, you know, handing my notice in and serving out my notice period in an employed way. And you have almost like a date in mind. Well, that'll be my first day. That'll be our first day as a business. And you have the exciting creative things like what we're going to call ourselves, let's get a logo designed. And in ye olde 90s, it was get yourself a letterhead, get yourself a comp slip, get yourself a business card and a fax machine. All right. Not messing, fax machine. Anyway, so I had the small bedroom at home. We turned that into an office, had a desk. And I can so clearly remember this on like day one, the official day one of the business. Getting up, being quite excited and thinking, well, here we are.
Going to work, one door down the hallway.
Traveling to work, down the hallway. And then, you know, getting into the office, sitting down and, you know, you're seeing on my desk, you know, there's a pile of letterheads. There are the comp slips just standing up in a little tray and my business cards and, you know, this machine. And so for a few minutes you're like, well, hey, this feels so good. We've got our own business, this is amazing. And then it didn't take many minutes before I sat there and thought,
I have no clients.
We haven't got a business. All I've got is some business stationery. But because I'd had in my employed life, I'd had a partial sales career, a sales management career, I guess that was great preparation for me to quite quickly conclude, we haven't got a business, we've got business stationery. How do you get a business? You have to need clients that you are providing a service or a product to, and you get paid for it. All right, so I better go and create some of that. Now, that sounds a bit simple when I put it that way. I had prepared. But in the early days, you're looking for revenue.
Yeah.
And in the early days, you're trying to find opportunities, and I was less clear about what we were going to be training and coaching in. I love the psychology piece, but I want to try to find an opportunity. So yeah, if I'm honest, in the first 6 months, I did training and coaching if someone wanted some, but it wasn't in the subject I was passionate about. But it brings some revenue in, because the other thing I haven't really mentioned was when we decided to do that, to make that decision, and it was obviously reinforced by mum. She said, come on, let's do this. We didn't have a load of savings.
Yeah, I know.
And we had a mortgage, as you and Ollie at school, and there's other responsibilities. Now, at the time, they were, if I'm honest, when we told other people and friends we were doing this, to our face, they were like, it's amazing, go for it. And you think, oh, that's great. But you sort of discovered after a while, like behind your back, they're saying, what the hell are they doing?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's so irresponsible. They've got two young children. How are they going to... And I do get that, of course. It might be deemed as irresponsible. But I, again, looking back, I think it helped me.
Yeah, because it's you weren't, it wasn't a comfortable decision. And I've learned this even with my, some of my my clients I've had, both in Mindspan through coaching and even in my marketing business 360, and I work with people that are startups. I think when there's too much of a safety net, like they've maybe still in their current job, or and it, not everyone, because some people are using that time to get organized and they've got a cutoff point of I'm going to be gone by this point. But actually, when it's too comfortable and all your bills are being paid for and, you know, by your salary and everything, it's, I don't think those people are always as hungry or as driven because it's not hard enough.
Yeah.
Whereas I guess for you, it was, I need to make this work because I have this on my shoulders.
Yeah. And that really worked for me. And I wouldn't work for everybody because it was, you know, we're not all motivated in the same ways. But I look back and I think actually it worked for me, and it has done ever since. I quite like, and I get the best out of myself by being a little bit on the edge. And I don't mean reckless, on the edge. And I think, you know, I've seen people who will start a business, who look to start a business, for example, and they've got a load of savings there. And I hardly ever on day one out really making it happen, because there's not enough pain.
Yeah, to do
perceived
it.
Pain involved. So of course we don't want life to be painful, but we need this sort of mix. We need this mix of what really drives us and what we get motivated by. But I do look back and I think, if I actually had 50 grand in the bank when I started the business, would I have got out on day one with real gusto to go and make things happen, to get some revenue in, to make sure there's food on the table because I've got a family, to make sure we can pay our bills? I will never know. But I don't think I would have been quite so on it. So that really works for me, and it's continued to work for me for 25 years, because I quite like the mild insecurity from knowing my salary is not guaranteed unless I get out there and do something, unless I make things happen.
So do you think that kind of drive was, because obviously that is kind of, you know, a risk, but was it, is that, did fear come into that at all? Was it, you know, a positive focus, or, you know, what was going through your mind?
Well, again, as we sort of suggested earlier in the conversation today, There were two key things at play around this. And this is where, let's call it our fuel. Now, if you're going to make things happen in life, you need fuel.
Yeah.
We suggest emotion is fuel. So how you feel is the fuel to get you moving, is what will help us to take action. Now, of course, if you look generally in life, some people, their motivation, which is a way of feeling, is fuel. Their motivation comes from how amazing something could be if they take action. Some people's motivation comes almost from a place of desperation, like they leave everything till the last minute, and actually, if I don't do something today, X, Y, and Z is negatively going to happen. Now, of course, we're all, there's a mix of those inspiration or desperation, as I like to call them, as we sort of go through life. So initially, where I think a lot of it came from in terms of making that decision and doing it without savings, etc., was what I got scared by when I projected into the future and thought, yeah, life's okay, and it could be okay for the next 40, 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
How am I going to feel if that happens? Ugh, not great.
Yeah.
So that initially it was like a bit of scare. I was scared and a little bit of, and quite a lot of fear, which then I flipped over into, okay, So if I want to ensure that doesn't happen as much as I can as the years go by, because I want to be inspired, I want to be fulfilled, I want to be excited, I want to be amazed, I want to fulfill my potential, whatever that consists of, I want to positively impact the lives of others. So that actually, and this was one of my measures, which I haven't mentioned yet, when my head goes on the pillow, metaphorically speaking, for the last time later in life, I want to have that reflection that when I look back on my life, I did something with that.
Mm.
And that's not all going to be perfect, and not every decision you're going to make is going to work out, but I want to look back as I've done something with that 80, 90, 100 years, whatever my lifespan consists of. That inspires me. What scares me is the flip side, is doing that for the last time and looking back and thinking, oh damn, I wish I could do that again.
Yeah,
I just didn't do stuff. I just did. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I guess so. It's the balance of those two things. It started as being fearful and scared, then flipped over into, and even talking about it now is amazing, because actually inside I'm like, come on,
yeah.
I really wound myself up to let's make things happen and let's get excited and yeah. So I guess that was part of it. But people thought that was a bit reckless, if I'm honest. But we're here, 25 years later, we're all still alive and we're cracking on.
Exactly. And I think it's interesting, sort of you said that moment for you that was really special was actually, you know, day one seeing that stationery and being in the office. And I know that room that you're talking about. I think that was my bedroom when I got kicked out and was thrown in the garden. But
not quite the garden, but yeah.
No, I did. I did have a room, don't
you? You actually went upstairs. You had a nice bedroom after that. Yeah.
I was in the attic. I tell people that story as if I was like Harry Potter and I was sort of thrown up into some... It was a very nice room.
Yeah, it was a nice loft conversion, yeah.
So that was like a big moment for you. I didn't know what answer you were going to say there, because for me, I sort of think, wow, you must have felt so proud when you started working with like Norwich City and the first team and, you know, going working with all the Spire and Bupa hospitals and like huge organisations which started day one from a bedroom, you know, bedroom office. That's amazing. But actually that standout moment for you was, you know, some physical visuals of I'm doing this. But you mentioned people obviously supportive to your face, but you later found out perhaps comments were said of, oh, that's crazy, that's reckless, what are they doing? I've never discussed this with you, but did you have any self-doubt moments? Because as I've always known you, and I know obviously you're my dad, so you'd have been sure to project a certain image to me growing up and confidence and self-belief, but did you have moments of doubting this decision that you made of can I really do this? This is really hard. Did you have any setbacks like that I imagine across 25 years there must have been some moments where you thought this is really challenging.
Yeah, I think some of that is what most people would probably fall into sometimes with these sorts of things. There's a bit of imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've, you know, in specializing in mindset, attitude and psychology as a subject matter for us as a coaching and training company and a company that now creates a lot of content around that stuff. Yeah, certainly in the early years, I worked on projects like for British Airways with lots of other trainers. We were brought in as an external contractor, and I'm working alongside people who've been training for a long time. There's odd moments. I'm thinking, God, they know things I don't know. You know, they're talking about stuff like I should know this, and so you do have those. But that's part of learning. It's part of growth.
Yeah.
You can't start at something and be an expert in it.
Yeah.
Or be the best you can be, because that's your, and everyone's on that. In that process, on that journey, aren't they? Yeah. Whether that's in terms of their career or in terms of being a subject matter, being experienced, or even in life. So, of course, yeah, I had those moments, but I think because I wanted to do what we were doing so much, I never really doubted that what we were doing was the thing we should be doing.
Right.
On that journey, there were just moments when I was more confident or less confident. And if I was less confident, all that made me was determined to learn more, to grow more. And we're in learning and development. That's what we do. So if we're in learning and development and we're helping other people with that and we're not doing it ourselves, there's something wrong. So I feel incredibly privileged that what I decided to make my profession, my career, and to the very thing we're doing is the very thing that helps us to do it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah,
which sounds a bit weird. But so I've had moments of self-doubt, still have on odd occasions, but then you get other moments where, like. There's a massive organization in this country, which it must have been 15 years ago, I was speaking at their annual staff conference. There are thousands of people there. It's like a rock concert. I'm on a stage where there's massive, two big screens behind me of me, and there's roadies, gracious, sound engineers. I'm one of a number of people speaking at that event, and you have almost like little moments when I was up there speaking, and you know the audience is with you, which is important, and I'm in a flow state of like stuff coming out of my mouth. I don't even know where it's coming from. Do you know what I mean? Like all that learning and stuff is just pouring out in a purposeful way, and you're in a flow state. Almost having you come out of yourself, look at yourself doing that, and you have a pinch me moment, thinking, "Yeah, this is pretty good, isn't it? You're good at this. You're doing a good job." So, again, much of what we teach is what I've tried to work out along the way. But that's mixed in with odd moments of, "Ooh, you've not done this before. This is a new type of audience. Crikey, you're delivering alongside some world renowned people." But again, the more you do that, as uncomfortable as it is, the more comfortable it becomes, doesn't it? And that's learning and growing. Another significant, hugely fulfilling, enjoyable moment was, you know, the 2015 playoff final with Norwich City. That's another phase where I was working with them. And, you know, we're at Wembley. I've been working with the team that year, and we win.
Yeah.
We win the most, the single game in the world, which is worth the biggest amount of money to the winners. And it wasn't me, the players did it and the manager did it, but I'm part of that. And you think, if I hadn't taken that risk in 1998, I wouldn't be standing here doing this, would I? So that you have, you know, it's uncomfortable at times, you have self-doubt at times, but that's part of it. Don't expect not to.
Yeah.
Because if you expect for those things not to be occurring, then you're really in your comfort zone, aren't you?
So, yeah, this is all, you know, really just amazing to listen to and hear about that journey, and also I guess probably as well being your daughter, and I've known you since the day I was born.
Good.
So, I think. but you know, I remember that bedroom/office. I remember lots of different moments growing up, and obviously I'm now involved in it now. I still sit back and go, I can't believe you thought of this one day. Not that I don't think you're capable. Like, I just think, this is so clever. Like, you think you're amazing, but
yeah, that's thank you for that. But yeah, I'll say, but my journey, evolution, and that it continues. I was not stopping this tomorrow. Has been massively contributed to by shed loads of other people. I've learned so much from people. Every book I've read has been written by someone. Every podcast I listen to is created by someone. Everyone I've worked with has some knowledge and expertise I've learned from, and it's helped me to grow. And hopefully I'll do that with others as well too. So I think I'm really proud of what we've done and what we're doing. I still feel inspired. I'm incredibly fulfilled. So to me, making that decision all those years ago, risky, but I will not get to 80, 90 and look back and say I wish. I just absolutely won't. I know I won't now. I want to, again, and I know I'm on this journey towards this place of looking back later in life with incredible fulfillment at the good bits, valuing the less than good bits, the challenging bits, because they are part of it. And so I will absolutely do that. And if it all stopped today, I will be able to do that. It won't, because we're cracking on with things. But yeah, it's not me, just me.
Yeah.
I'm me in my little bit, having made some decisions and having a passion for the things that we do. There are hundreds and thousands of people that have contributed to me to get to this place, absolutely.
Now, to bring this to a close, and obviously, you know, thank you so much for kind of talking about some of these things, because I know that I know I can't explain how uncomfortable I know this will have probably made you, because I know that you are so comfortable talking and sharing, and but you don't typically do that about yourself. It's often about subject matter, or there may be some snippets of stories again that you're comfortable with. But I know we've talked about some past moments and things that have, I know that you'd have found that some of that a bit uncomfortable, so thank you. But I think to bring this to a close and make sure we leave listeners with something to take away, just wrapping this up, you took a risk, you made a decision that 25 years on has completely changed the path that you took in life. What advice would you have to somebody that's, well, I was just going to say, you know, 30 or whatever age they are, about taking risk and making a decision. What's your advice for them?
Don't be reckless with your life, is my encouragement. But don't be safe all the time. Be safe some of the time. That's, yeah, I agree, that's fine. I could talk again quite a lot for a long time, but if I want to keep it really simple, don't be reckless, be inspired, be brave. And sometimes to help us with that, we need to sometimes just sit down and think, if people think I really would like to do this or create that, great. But how would you feel if you didn't? If you never had a go at that, or you never tried, or you stayed safe? And I think if you can create that fuel in yourself, the emotions, that's motivation, passion, enthusiasm, drive, because you're passionate about life, then you'll probably get out of your comfort zone more. Because the cost to the emotional cost of not stepping out of your comfort zone frightens you, because it'll all just be a bit meh. Does that make sense? A bit meh.
Yeah.
And I would never tell people how to live, but I want to encourage people not to do what I've done necessarily, but just go and having an attitude and approach to life where you make the most of it.
Yeah.
And people talk about that, but they don't live like they mean it. Yeah. Let's mean it. And let's max as much as we possibly can, that when we get to 80, 90 or 100, hopefully live a good old healthy age, that you look back with real, real fulfillment that you did something with it.
Yeah.
And don't have a bucket loads of regrets because you didn't get your act into gear and you played safe all the time and you never really stepped out of that comfort zone.
No, and I think if I can just add to that point as something that I'd love to also share for something to take away, it does link to something you said at the beginning as well around you looking further forward to your life, not just present moment. And a lot of people do kind of, not everybody, but a lot of people live day to day, live
stuck here,
within the next 3 months, 12 months, as far forward as their next holiday is. I do the exact same. I didn't know that you did that, which is why I'm I'm listening and I'm thinking, is that why I do what I do as well? I have taken risks and I'm still going through my journey of learning.
Still going through mine.
But I'm very happy and proud of where I've got to, but I ask myself quite regularly, if I'm doing the same thing I'm doing today in 5 years' time, would I be proud of myself? And I don't mean this horribly, but the answer is no. It scares me. It's not evolved enough. So I guess, it's you said, you know, take risks. Don't just live in a safe comfort zone.
All the time.
The time. And with that, I'd ask yourself today, think about 5 years from now. Are you doing what you're doing right now in your head? And if the thought of that scares you enough, that's probably time to take a risk. So thanks. Thank you, Dad, so much for your time today.
Thanks for your great questions.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. And we'll be back with another episode very soon.